I told him better not hit me. I'll hit him back.
Hey, look at all of you. You made it. Happy New Year. I'm going to read from Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Amen.
Amen.
I was an orphan lost in the fall, running away when I hear you call. Father, you worked your will. I had no righteousness of my own. I had no right to draw near your throne. But Father, you love me still. And in love before you laid the world's foundation, you predestined to adopt me as your own. You have raised me up so high above my station. Child of God by grace and grace alone. Amen. You left your home to seek out the lost. You knew the great and terrible cost. But Jesus, your face was set. I worked my fingers down to the bone. Nothing I did could ever atone. But Jesus, you paid my debt. By your blood I have redemption and salvation. Lord, you died that I might reap what you have sown. And you rose that I might be a new creation. I am born again by grace and grace alone. I was in darkness all of my life. I never knew the day from the night. But Spirit, you made me see. I swore I knew the way on my own. Head full of rocks, a heart made of stone. But Spirit, you moved in me. At your touch, my sleeping spirit was awakened. On my darkened heart, the light of Christ has shone. Called into a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Heaven citizen by grace and grace alone. So I'll stand in faith by grace and grace alone. I will run the race by grace and grace alone. I will slay my sin by grace and grace alone. I will reach the end by grace and grace alone. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Come on up, Derek.
Good morning. Happy New Year! Exciting stuff coming ahead of us. Starting a new sermon series, and we'll get a touch of that in just a minute after we worship. Sweet! Deacon of the Week, big prizes for the deacons?
Yeah.
Awesome! Oh, just what I always wanted. Need something, call the deacons, and more information will come, so we're going to have Deacons of the Week, and we'll be helping everyone out. There is a hospitality meeting for those interested to join Sunday 1:15 after services, and then join us during the week. Tuesday's prayer meeting, Wednesday men and women's group, and Thursday is Bible study. They all start at 6:30. The only difference, one small difference for you ladies, I know you can handle it, is the ladies meet over at Pastor's house. So everything else is here. All right. What's that? Well,
Thomas.
I mean, isn't that a given? It's always one. All right, let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all the opportunities that are coming up for us. Let us all be hopeful and encourage us coming up into this new year. We hear things that things may turn down, but let us all know that you're with us, Lord. And Lord, that you have us, that your plan is the ultimate plan, and you have this all planned out for us, and it's already written in your book. Lord, help us to understand the mysteries of you and help us to grow closer to you in this coming up year. Help us to encourage others around us. Help us to spread your word to others that may not know your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Nice.
So we had these big plans this morning, all these certain songs we were doing because the whole team was going to be here. And, you know, our plans don't always work out, so we got the three of us up here. We got all of you, way more of you here than I expected, so yeah. Huh? Yep. Praise God, right? Yeah.
Spirit sound, rushing wind, fire of God, fall within. Holy Ghost, breathe on us, we pray. As we repent and turn from sin, revival embers smoldering. Breath of God, fan us into. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit see, we can hear the wind blowing.
Spirit. Pour your Spirit out. How many of you know how great thou art? A couple of you. I think. Well, Carrie Underwood did this too, so maybe you've heard it, but we're going to do it, and it's new for us, but this is an old, old hymn, so those of you who know it, sing loud, okay?
Proclaim, my God, how great. How great are his signs! How mighty is his wonders! His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation.
How great thou art! We have an amazing God. Amen. You may be seated, and children are dismissed.
All right. Okay. Is this thing working? Can you hear me okay? I can be louder. Oh, there we go. There we go. Well, good morning. You snow people should be pretty happy. Yeah. Yeah. We won't hand out baptism certificates this week. We'll do that next week. Yeah, you snow people, I'm just disappointed in you, okay? You shouldn't be. No, but good morning, good morning. Hey, I want to congratulate the newlyweds back there. They made it through the new year already, right? It's day number two, all right. But make sure you welcome them. Okay, real quick, got to ask the same question. It's New Year's, so who made a resolution? No, why not? Didn't want to, right? I just want everybody to be assured the resolution I made last year, I nailed it. I doubled it, I'm pretty sure. And so I make the same one every year. I'm going to gain 10 pounds next year, okay? So, like I said, I'm pretty sure I doubled it. Jasmine did point out last night, we went to Lovelock last night and had service up there. When I asked the question, Jasmine, you know, I talked about love last night, and I got this loving quote. She's like, yeah, but usually you want it to be muscle. So, you know, I mean, just, you know, thinking table muscle counts. That's what I say. But it's New Year's, and so as the New Year starts, we are going to finish up Romans. We're going to start off by finishing the book of Romans. We're in chapter 14. And so we've started this new series. It's Bullseye or Missing the Mark. With resolutions, I'm not big on resolutions either. It's kind of one of those, the Bible says let your yes be yes and your no be no. So it's kind of just, you're supposed to just live out the truths, right? And so making a resolution is like, oh, hey, I need to do better. I need to do this. Well, anybody in here have any doubts whether or not you're supposed to do better, right? But here's the thing, the doing the better depends on us. We want to be closer to Christ, amen? So that's what we're working towards. And so bullseye or missing the mark, here's the deal. A lot of the times, the word the word for sin in the Bible simply means missing the mark. In Romans 3:23, where nobody does right, you've missed the mark, because the mark is perfection. The mark is a perfect bullseye. Did you know in archery, every shot is supposed to be a bullseye? Who plays darts? You know how they have all these different dart games, and it's like, oh, you count down, and you hit this one, and you hit this one, and they say, oh, that's to improve your accuracy? I don't buy any of that. It's bullseye all the way, right? Yes. Yes. So bullseye is perfection. And so obviously the Bible calls us to perfection, which we know that we can't. We miss the mark, right? I mean, so over and over again, whenever the Bible speaks of sin, so often it's speaking of us missing the mark. The level is perfection, and we can't meet perfection. We know that. We just can't get there. And so God had to do something for us, and that was he sent perfection in our place, and perfection was Jesus Christ. Now that we come to Jesus Christ, now that we've come to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, the power of God, lives in us, moves in us, empowers us. Somebody the other day said, being baptized in the fire, right? That's the proof that the Spirit of God lives inside of us and moves and works inside of us. So we are now still aiming for the bullseye. The difference is we have God inside of us, helping us to get to that bullseye. And so we are to live the example, we are to live Christ-like, and we know that we're missing the mark. And so we as a church this new year, if we're all in agreement that we want to do better and we want to be closer to Christ and we want to be more like Christ at the end of this year, then guess what? We got some work to do. But all of the work that we have to do requires us to come to Christ, to come under His Word, the authority of it. And so we go to the Word because that is our authority. The Holy Spirit of God will take the Word of God and apply it to the people of God. And so we want to hit some bullseyes, and so we need to be a little more Christ-like. And so this next coming year, man, we're aiming for bullseyes. And so we're going to do a series asking ourselves, are we in the bullseye or are we missing the mark? And so today, bullseye or missing the mark, man, that's what it looks like. What if I, yeah, right? That's my dartboard. So we're going to continue. We're going to continue here in Romans, and the church at Rome was not so much unlike our church in many different ways. It was full of different people, different kinds of people, different ethnicities, different levels of faith, even different personalities, different issues, different convictions. And so we have that all in our church as well, and many churches do, most churches do. But here's the truth. That makes it hard, right? You ever disagree with somebody? Right? And so it makes it hard when we have so many differences, but we're called to the same group. We're called to the same purpose. And so since we're called, the first thing that we have to do is acknowledge in our calling that we are called to accept one another because we've been accepted by God because of Jesus, and it is Him, Jesus, who sustains us, our relationship, the church, and He's Lord of all of us the same. And so this truth, we come together. And so here's this truth. Bullseye are missing the mark. Both strong and weak Christians can cause a brother to stumble or to be built up. And so we're going to talk this morning. We're going to read Romans 14. We're going to start at verse 13, and we're going to go to the end of the chapter. And so if you'll stand while we read God's word. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 14, starting at verse 13. Therefore, remember the therefore is there for a reason. Therefore, let us no longer criticize or judge one another, but instead decide not to put a stumbling block or pitfall in your brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Still, to someone who considers a thing to be unclean, to that one it is unclean. For if your brother is hurt by what you eat, you are no longer walking according to love. By what you eat, do not destroy that one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be slandered. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves the Messiah in this way is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Do not tear down God's work because of food. Everything is clean, but it is wrong for a man to cause stumbling by what he eats. It's a noble thing not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother stumble. Do you have faith? Keep it to yourself before God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever doubts stands condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that is not from faith is sin. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. Lord, we want to just thank you and praise you that we have your word. And so, Lord, as we've gotten to read your word, we pray and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would take your word and apply it to us. Lord, give us ears to hear it. Give us hearts to desire it. Lord, give us mouths to repeat it. Lord, but most importantly, draw us closer to you and make us more like you by the understanding of it. So we thank you and we praise you in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Please have a seat. A couple things. So here in the letter to Romans, I mean, obviously he's talking about, he speaks of food and drink. He speaks of food and drink, and so there's some stuff in the Bible that's pretty clear, right? We know that adultery is wrong, right? We know that drunkenness is wrong. We know that lying is wrong. We know that greed, we know that all these kinds of things, we know that these things are pretty clear cut, right? We can go through some certain things, go through the Bible and be like, okay, that is just never going to be okay, ever. The Bible pretty much condemns that and says no, but there's some stuff that you're like, well, where do I find that in the Bible? Well, here in Romans, Paul is telling you, it depends on your brother. It depends on your brother, and it depends on your own faith. And so he says, you have to be careful in these things. And so here's the deal. We know that in Jewish law, there were certain things they could and couldn't eat. We know that there were certain things and certain laws that were established and they couldn't do. But you remember, God brings this sheet down to Peter, right? And it has all these animals that he wasn't supposed to eat. Remember, Peter has this little discussion with the Lord, and he says, I know you've said to, get up, kill, and eat. He says, but I'm a good Jewish boy, and I would never do such a thing. I have never done such a thing, and I never could do such a thing. And God has to lower this down three times and show him and say, okay, what I've called clean, don't call unclean. And so he gives this illustration, he gives this picture to Peter, so Peter's like, oh, okay, it's not about food. And now we get into Romans, and you're like, well, wait, it is about food. No, it's about your heart, it's about your faith, and it's about your brother's heart and your brother's faith. Now, when I say brothers or when I say sisters, I mean both. And so what Paul is talking about is, here's the thing, we have to take care of our church, we have to take care of our brothers, we have to take care of ourselves. And so what he's telling us here in this, we're going to cover three things, but he says, take care of and do not harm these three things. And the first thing he talks about, verses 13 through 15. Take care of and do not harm, first and foremost, my fellow Christian. My brother or sister in Christ. Therefore, here's what we have on the screen. My fellow Christian, this is the main point. He says, listen, you have a responsibility to take care of and not to harm your brother and sister in Christ, okay? Not just in the church, but in Christ. So much damage happens from brothers or sisters mistreating one another. And he's talking about those who are weak in the faith and those who are strong in the faith. Now, here's the deal. Many of us would proclaim to be strong in the faith, right? And so we would be strong in the faith, and then we have to just do a whole quick pride and ego check, and be like, oh, wait, hang on. Am I strong in the faith or am I now weak in the faith? The truth is, where you think you're strong and where you think you're weak, you have to be cautious, because what you do with your own faith could harm or take care of your brother. Well, what he's calling us in the scriptures is to take care of and do not harm. He gives two specific things in this verse. Therefore, right? Remember the therefore is therefore this reason. Because we have inside the church, this is the therefore. Since you have strong and weak in the faith inside the church, this is how you act. No longer judge or criticize. That's the first thing. Well, everybody needs some good, healthy criticism, right? Who's in agreement with that? Everybody needs some good, healthy criticism. You know what? You're absolutely right, but it doesn't need to come from a brother or sister. You know where it needs to come from? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. See, this is in regards. This is my fellow Christian. This is my brother or sister in Christ. Here's so much of where the damage happens. We think we need to tell the brother or sister how they need to be, how they need to live, how they need to act, the things that they need to do, the things that they don't. This is where so much harm comes from. But instead, he says, listen, you need to take care of. So the first thing, right out of the gate, he says, no longer judge. Here's the truth. If he's saying no longer, it means it's taking place. Here's the thing. We should take a little bit of comfort in knowing that we're not the only flawed church, right? He's telling the church at Rome, this powerful church, he says, hey, guess what, guys? Don't do this anymore. Don't do this. Stop. No longer criticize. No longer judge. Instead, do this. Decide. So decide is bold. Right? This word decide is you have to make the choice. And so the no longer criticize, you don't get to decide on that one. He just says, just stop doing that. Stop being judgy. Stop criticizing one another. Look at your own life. Remember the whole thing Jesus talked about? Hey, well, you got this little bitty speck in your eye? No. He says your brother has the speck. You have the what? The log. And so that one's just a command. That one's not like, hey, decide to do this. No. He just commands you, stop criticizing, stop judging one another. This is the part you decide. Instead, decide. Make up your mind. Put into practice intentionally. Decide to never put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister. You notice how he doesn't say decide to do good. You see, that's the one that should just come naturally if we're in Christ Jesus. I shouldn't have any issues, or I shouldn't have to convince myself to do good to my brother or sister in Christ. The thing I have to decide is I have to decide, and I have to set my mind and I have to set my actions towards not putting a pitfall in front of my brother or sister. Now, here's what this word means, this pitfall or this stumbling block. Anybody know how to set a snare? Anybody set a snare trap? Put your hand up if you know how to set a snare. All right, we're going to have you come up and show us. Okay, so we can all criticize you. No, just kidding. You know when you set a snare, you have the little stick that is the trigger. How about this? You ever hear of a, even on the cartoons, there's this big bear trap, right, and it's got the thing, and you know you're not supposed to step on the middle? That trigger. Well, in that trigger in the bear trap, or the little stick in the snare, that's the thing he says, listen, you Christians, you need to decide, you need to make it a point not to put that little trigger in front of your brother or sister to make them fall. He says, when you go and criticize, when you go and judge, all these things that you're doing to harm, he says, you're intentionally setting a trap or a pitfall for a brother and sister in Christ. And he said, no, I never set out to do that. Here's the thing. If you're not looking to do good for your brother or sister, you're setting a pitfall. You're setting a trap. That's what he's saying. Listen, our minds and our hearts should be set on edifying, on building up our brothers and sisters. Do not harm, right? Do not harm, but take care of your fellow Christian, your brother or your sister in Christ. And so we have to intentionally do this. You know why? Because, I mean, who really likes numero uno? Numero uno always likes numero uno. And so anything that might get in the way of number one, I'm going to do certain things to protect number one. And the Bible says that you're putting pitfalls, you're putting snares, you're putting these traps in front of your brothers or sisters. Instead, what you should do is be willing to do without. Be willing to suffer for your brother or sister to be taken care of. This is the point he's getting to. So when we are not set on doing good, what we're doing is we're setting ourselves, we're making it okay to do harm. Listen, this is what he says, I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Still, to someone who considers a thing to be unclean, to that one, it's unclean. For if your brother or sister is hurt by what you eat, you are no longer walking according to love. And so this is what he says, do not destroy by what you eat, someone for whom Christ died. And so he's using the food as an example. And he brings in drinking later. So what? One of the issues here is all this food was being offered to idols. You ever go in a place and they have that little statue there and they put all this food in front of them, this, that, and the other? Now here's the thing. What he's saying is people would eat that food and other people were like, right? Because it was offered to idols, and the Christians are like, what? That ain't no, like, here's the thing. The Bible goes on to say, listen, if you've received this with thanksgiving, then it's okay, right? If you give thanks to God, then it's okay. So you could take that food and you could eat it because you've given thanks to God. Because you didn't give it to the idol. You're not eating it in worship to the idol. But there are people who did. And there are people who see that. So if you do that in front of your brother or sister, and it's going to make them stumble, it's going to make their faith weak. It's going to destroy their walk with Christ. Don't do it. To do so destroys their faith. And so this is the stronger of the weak. The strong person would go up and be like, hey, here's the thing. I don't care that that was offered to Buddha. It don't mean nothing to me. It's food. I'm going to praise God that he gave me some food. But if you walk in that arrogance of the strength of your faith, the weak brother or sister who says, man, I don't know if we should be offending people. No, don't care about that. This, that, or the other. You see what you're doing? This is what he says. You're harming. He says you're better off just not to eat that. We want to talk about drinking and stuff. You know, you want to talk about, you want to get touchy and come to church and talk about politics, money, or drinking. Right? Drinking's the same thing. There are people who say, oh, you can never absolutely, ever, ever. The Bible says never touch booze. Well, no, it doesn't say that. It says don't get drunk. In fact, the Bible talks about certain times you can enjoy your wine. Enjoying doesn't mean getting drunk. But here's the deal. If it's going to cause a brother or sister to stumble, don't do it. And here's the deal. Do you know your brothers and sisters well enough to know if it's going to make somebody stumble? That's what he's getting to. That's what he's getting to. Listen, you guys should be in close enough relationship that you guys should already know the struggles and the battles that each other has, so don't harm each other. Just because it's okay for you to have a beer doesn't mean that it's okay for your brother or your sister. Do you know your brother or sister well enough to know that? Are you willing to get to know your brother or sister enough that you would just completely remove it from your house if they were coming over for dinner? Just to make sure. Well, Pastor, I have a freedom and I have a right. You see, now you're getting back into the strength of the quote-unquote strength of your faith. What Paul's saying, Paul says to this point, here's the thing, who's meat eater in here? No amens on that? All right, okay. We were talking about some Wagyu steaks earlier, right? Now, here's the thing. I'm a meat eater. If there's no meat, like, in the meal, I'm like, I'm going to be hungry in 5 minutes kind of thing. I know you plant people say that, no, you can get full on plant. I get it. Just telling you how I am, okay? Paul says, listen, if it would make a brother or sister stumble, I would never eat meat again. Oh, man, that's pretty hard. Because I'm like, man, I won't eat meat when they come over. Right? But never? Paul says, here's the thing. The building up of my brother or sister is so important to me that if there was the slightest chance that they could ever see me eating a bite of meat, I wouldn't do it. Because I'm more concerned about my brother or sister walking, being close, being built up in that relationship with Christ, that I wouldn't eat meat. So he says, take care of, don't harm. Listen, these things that we have freedoms, you do have freedoms. You do have liberty. Paul even says, listen, you have freedom, you have liberty, but not everything edifies. Everything is acceptable, but not everything edifies. Everything is acceptable, but not everything builds up. Everything is acceptable, but not healthy. You see, we have freedoms in Christ. We're going to, as we continue through the Bible, we're going to continue to see these freedoms and understand that Christ has set us free, right? If the Son has set you free, you are free what? Indeed. Not free like once in a while, maybe, possibly. No, you're free indeed. And so that brings a whole lot of freedoms, but it doesn't mean it's the smartest move to make. How are your brothers and sisters doing? Do you know them well enough? Are you concerned about their well-being, their growth in Christ? So take care of and do not harm, first and foremost, your fellow Christian. Verses 16 through 18. This is the second one. Take care of and do not harm my testimony. Say, I have a testimony. Say it. Say, I have a testimony. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have a testimony. Now, you have a salvation testimony, but guess what? You have a living testimony. You have a walking testimony. And your testimony, who knows what a testimony is? Who knows what it means to testify? You ever have to testify in court? Okay? Your testimony is your what? Your testimony. It's you testifying of who you are, what you believe of your life. And so you are to take care of and not harm your own testimony and the testimony of Christ Jesus that you're living out. Listen, your salvation testimony, you know, nobody can take that. Right? If you're saved, you're saved. If you're lost, you're lost. And so if Jesus Christ has saved you, then your salvation testimony is your salvation testimony. You're saying, well, how do I harm that? No, no, no. He's not talking about that. He's talking about your living testimony, your walking testimony. Do not harm. Make sure you take care of. Listen, Romans 14, 16. Therefore, do not, right here, let your good be slandered. The good is your works and your reputation. Do not let that be slandered. 16 through 18 says this. Therefore, do not let your good be slandered, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For the one who serves Christ in this way is well-pleasing to God and approved by people. Here's this truth. Listen. Your good works, your works and your reputation, in that you're serving Christ. Your testimony is how you serve Christ. When you serve a brother or sister, when you serve another person, you're serving Christ. Jesus says, when you've done this to the least of these, you've done it to me. And so when you're serving somebody, you should see it as serving Christ. And so he says, don't let your testimony, your living, walking testimony, be slandered. Don't let your good works and your reputation be slandered by how you live out your quote-unquote freedoms. This is where a lot of damage happens, too. This person runs out and they proclaim that they're a Christian, and they go to work and they make these statements like they're Christians, but then they're living and they work completely different. And you go to somebody and you're like, oh, that's my brother. I go to church with him. You ever get one of these? They go to church? It's because we are doing so much damage to our own walking testimony, to the testimony of Christ, to the testimony of the power of God living inside of us. This is where we're doing the damage, because we're not living in that power, because we're not experiencing that power, because truth be told, church, we don't want the power, because if we did, it's available, and he would change our lives, and our walking, living testimony would look like what the Bible calls it to look like. But we don't want it. The flesh says, I want to live in these freedoms, and so I live in these freedoms, and so we damage our testimony, and so we make Christianity look weak. We make Christianity look like it's unfavorable. We make God look like he's just a mean tyrant who just wants to punish and not have any fun, right? No, 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 don't let your testimony be damaged. Don't do it harm. Man, build it up. Take care of it. Charles Spurgeon has been called the Prince of Preachers, right? One of the greatest preachers of, the last century. Last one being before the 20s, right? A couple of stories. Charles Spurgeon preached to thousands. The biggest church in London, the guy could preach. He has a family come. Father comes to him and says, Pastor, hey, I need your help. Charles Spurgeon says, okay, what do you need my help with? And the father, he brings this box of cigars, and he says, I found these in my son's room, and I'm not sure what to do. And so Charles Spurgeon says, well, give them to me, and I'll smoke them to the glory of God. It's a true story. He smoked cigars. And when you get through different stories, he smoked pipes and he smoked, this, that, and the other. But here's the deal. The box of cigars. He says, I'll smoke them to the glory of God. True story. Because he's like, me smoking cigars doesn't mean I'm not saved, right? I mean, that's the truth of it. So I'm going to enjoy some free cigars. Okay? I'm sure the father is probably like, well, okay. Who knows? And so here's the thing, right? Okay, so he has this freedom. But guess what happens later? Later, he's walking by a store, and he sees an ad in this store and winds up being on the front news of the on the front page of the paper. But he sees this ad, and it says, come in and use the tobacco or smoke the cigar, something along these lines, that Charles Spurgeon smokes. And then guess what? Front page of the paper. Choose the tobacco Charles Spurgeon smokes. His sermon that next Sunday was, I quit. Because he decided that his freedom to smoke cigars was now being damaged, or his walking testimony was now being damaged by his freedom to smoke cigars. And now the whole lost world was saying, oh, look, this is what Charles Spurgeon is known for. He wasn't known in that ad for preaching the gospel, for being the powerful preacher. No, no, no. This is the one, the famous guy. This is what he smokes. Smoke this too. And so he preached next Sunday, and I believe it was New Year's. Preached next Sunday, he says, I quit. He came in, he shared, and he says, listen, I've been causing damage to this testimony. Listen, this is not verbatim. You can go look it up. But he came to the understanding, he came to the conviction that his freedom to smoke cigars, right, wasn't worth what it was causing, what it was doing to other believers and the lost world. And so he was taking care of his testimony, and he did it publicly. From the pulpit, on Sunday. See, we need to take care of our testimony. We need to not harm it. Listen, this is the scripture said there's three things that should be seen. What should be seen and said of us Christians? Well, first thing is righteousness. Righteousness should be seen in us. It's what should be spoken of us, that we are righteous people. Now, here's what righteousness means. It doesn't mean you're super duper holy and you're holier than thou. No, righteousness is God's declaration over you. That God has made you holy. Right? Your testimony is like, man, he used to be that way because I knew him. But man, the guy I know now is a completely different person. He doesn't act holy, but his life is holy. Man, he's different. See, it's God's declaration. That's what righteousness is. It's not that your deeds are righteous. It's not that you earned it. It's that God has declared you righteous in Jesus Christ. And so you are now holy because holiness lives in you. He has cleansed you. He's changing you. So that's what should be seen and said in you. How about this one? Peace. What should be seen and said of us? Peace. We are a people of peace. Peace, spiritual calmness. You're undisturbed by irritations of the moment. Ooh, is that a hard one? Anybody get a little irritated? Yeah? Man. Knock it off. No, just kidding. If it were only that easy, right? If it were only that easy. And so we come back to the bullseye or the missing the mark, and you're like, missing the mark. You know why? It's because you're not trusting in. You're not pressing into, you're not enjoying the peace that Christ offers you. When you take the truth of the irritation, when you look at the irritation in light of what Christ has set you free from, you'd be like, wow, that really shouldn't bother me too much. Does it really matter if somebody cuts you off on the road? It really doesn't. How about this? You're in a car. They didn't almost wipe you out as you were walking. And how about if they did almost wipe you out when you were walking? Guess what? There should be a little peace that you're still alive. Or there should be peace that if they hit you, you'd be with Jesus. I mean, either way, there's a spiritual peace that should comfort us, that should calm us, that we should be known for. You ever meet the people who everything's always wrong? How you doing? It's like the whole Eeyore thing. You ever watch Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh? I'm like, man, like Eeyore is a bummer. Here's the problem. We don't have peace because we don't go to the one who gives us peace. We let everything get us riled up. We let everything get us irritated. How long, if you would just take a deep breath, how many things do you get irritated about if you would just take a deep breath, or maybe two, just two. Go to three. Three deep breaths. I know some of you. Maybe four. Okay, three deep breaths. If you just took three deep breaths before you responded, and I'm talking, even if you're in your truck by yourself, that's fine. You can make them really, really loud, that's fine. Nobody's with you. If you took three deep breaths, the irritation would probably be gone. Right? And you would realize, wait a second, all I needed to do is just take a couple breaths and I'm back at peace. You see, that's what should be seen and said of us. That you're no longer destroyed by something happened. Right? You're no longer that person who gets angry at everything. You blow up at everything. You use the old, like, well, I just blow up because then I get it out. Right? Then it's done with. Well, how much damage? Because guess what? How much damage are you doing to somebody else now? It might feel better for you to blow up and just get it off and blow all this thing, right? And whew, I feel so much better. How many people did you hurt? Anybody got a stick of dynamite? Anybody? Can I borrow it? Because I'm gonna light it and I'm just gonna throw it out there. And I just tell you, I'm just blowing off steam. How many of you out there would be like, man, that sounds like a great plan? Not a one of you. Why? Because you're like, man, I don't want to be losing a limb because you had a little whiny baby fit. Don't you realize that your actions and your words cause that kind of damage to others? Peace. Man, return to peace. Return to Jesus. Take your three deep breaths and just, man, just say his name in those breaths as you exhale. How about this one? Joy. Joy. This joy is from your spiritual perspective manifesting in your outward character. You should be seen and spoken of as a person of joy. This joy that comes from your spiritual perspective that manifests in your outward character. It means your outward character matches who the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And so you have joy. Now, joy doesn't mean you're the bubbly person all the time, that you always have to smile. Anybody's cheeks get tired? Like, That's not joy. And you say sometimes, well, you know, we have to decide to put on a smile. Yeah. Yeah, of course you do. That's different than joy. That's a decision you're helping. You're deciding. It's a decision you're making to help a brother or sister. That's a decision you're making to put on that smile, right? And to help them not to think or be stressed out that, you know, maybe they irritated you or something like that. Sometimes you put on a smile. Don't do it like that. Don't go. If you're putting on a smile and you're like, that's the only way it's going to come out, just don't put on the smile. It's fine. But there should be a true joy. There should be a true joy in the people of God. What kind of things bring you joy? Well, as a Christian, it should be the first and foremost that you're in this relationship with Christ. Right? Right? That should bring you joy. That guess what? You've been declared righteous because of Christ. That you're set free. That guess what? You get to come hang out with other people who are in the same boat. Coming to church should cause us joy. Because we get to what? We get to work out our salvation. We get to what? Show and share the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I mean, okay, Christmas is over now. How many of you like to give gifts? Okay? How many of you like to receive gifts? Even if you give, do you like to receive? You can do both. It's fine. How many of you like to receive a gift? So since we have Jesus Christ, we have received the greatest gift. But since we have Jesus Christ, we also get to give the greatest gift. If we would start looking at it that way and start actually walking in it that way, people would see and speak of us that way. Take care of, do not harm, first and foremost, your fellow brother. Secondly, your testimony. Thirdly, your church. My church. I had to write my in there, you know, because it's mine. I want you to take notes. Mine. I don't want you to write down and be like, pastor's church. No, your church. It's not my church any more than it's your church. You know why? Because we're all in the same boat. This is Christ's church that he calls us to and allows us to come together. We don't own this place. Christ does. And when we realize and we start looking at this building is not the church. This collection of believers is the church. The building is part of it, but guess who owns the building? Guess who owns the people? Guess who owns the seats or the pews? Guess who owns the coffee? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you say, my church, we have to be careful not to harm, but to take care of my church. It's because Christ has made you a fellow heir. This is your church because you belong to Christ, because you're a child of God. And since he's called us here, and since he owns it, since it belongs to him, since he's the one who leads it, it's his church. And so my church is his church. How many of you are really good when you borrow things? Like you borrow a tool, and when you're done using it, you make sure it's clean. You make sure, here's the thing, you like to return things better than when you borrowed them, right? How many of you are like that? Okay, if you're not like that, put your hand up. We're going to put your name on the list. We're not loaning you anything. Right? You want to return what you've borrowed. Why? Because it ain't yours. And you want to take care of the thing that somebody has given you on loan because it belongs to them. You see how focused we should be on taking care of the church? It ain't ours. It's on loan. It's his church. We're using it until he, what? Brings us all home into glory. This is a tool. Here's the thing. It's the bride of Christ, but it's also a tool. This is the place where you, what? You edify and build up your brothers and sisters. This is the place where you come together and worship. This is the place where you come and you hear my bad voice sing, and then you sing a little bit louder. And you encourage me. And then I sing a little bit louder. And then you sing a little bit louder. And one of these days, this roof is going to blow off of this place because we're singing so loud. Be careful not to harm, but make sure you take care of my church. Because it's Christ's church. It's on loan. This is not where... Anybody want to just end up here? Right? No. Where do you want to end up? You want to end up in the presence of God. You want to end up in heaven. And so you're like, okay, this is where we start practicing. This is where we start learning to how to just live with one another and how to worship with one another. This is all on loan. This is all temporary. He's taking us to a better place. But guess what? This is what he's given us until then. And so we better take care of it because it's his. Right here. My church, Romans 14, 19 through 23. Just this first line right here. So then, let us pursue what promotes peace and what edifies one another collectively. Do not destroy the work of God on account of food. All things are clean, but it is wrong for the person who eats and stumbles in the process. It is good not to eat meat or drink or to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is weakened. The faith that you have with respect to yourself before God. Blessed is the one who does not pass judgment on himself by what he approves. But the one who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not do so from faith. And everything that is not from faith is sin. Listen, here's the truth. When we come together, not all convictions need to be shared. This is a hard one. You feel a conviction from the Holy Spirit, right? And so that's a conviction that you have to, that's a conviction that you have to deal with. That's a conviction that you have to let God show you and confirm and this, that, and the other. But not all of them need to be shared with a brother or sister or in the church. Listen, give up your freedom when it traps another believer. There are some convictions. Listen, we've been in church for a long time. We've faced many convictions people have had that didn't need to be shared but got shared in the public setting. And guess what? It causes damage. It causes brothers or sisters to stumble. It's like setting that snare, that trap in front of a brother or sister, in front of the whole. Listen, not all your convictions need to be shared. All your convictions need to be paid attention to and heeded as long as they're from Christ, as long as they're from the Spirit of God, as long as they come from the Word of God. Listen, confirm those convictions. What Paul is saying here, listen, if you think it's okay to do this and people in the church don't, make sure you check that out with God and then you do that, but not in a way that would harm your brother or sister or the church or your own testimony. You don't think something should happen? Well, don't harm others with it. Now, here's where we get a lot of problems. People don't care about the church because they're all running about how the church hurt them or how the church did this, and it doesn't go against their convictions. And I have the conviction, and the Bible tells me this, and so I won't be part of that church, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. I don't like the worship music, and so blah, 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 blah. Guess what? You're speaking against Christ's church, not that church. If we looked at it as Christ's church, all of our convictions don't need to be shared. Some of them you just need to take to the Lord. Some of them need to stay between you and the Lord. Because it damages the church. How about this? Some of them don't need to be shared in little group settings. Well, there's 10 of us that get together and all we do is we talk about this and we talk about that and we talk about that. Those convictions don't need to be shared in that group either, because guess what? It damages the testimony of the church. It damages Christ's church. Not all convictions need to be shared. Listen, we should be making sure, we should be spending time, we should decide not to damage my brother or sister, my testimony, or my church's testimony. My church on a whole. Here's an illustration. King needs a new chariot driver. And so the king is interviewing these different men to be his chariot driver. And so he says to them, I want you to take this chariot and I want you to go around the winding mountain road where all the cliffs are on the side. He says, and I want you to see how close you can get to the precipice in the chariot and still make it all the way to the top without falling off. So the first man comes down and he says, oh man, I got within 2 feet of the edge. He says, and I made it. And the king says, no thanks, you're not my chariot driver. The next man comes up and he says, I want you to know I got within 3 feet. And he says, no thanks, I don't want you to be my chariot driver. Another man comes and he says, I got an inch and a half from the precipice. Because all these guys are trying to figure out, well, what's he looking for? I got within an inch and a half. You know, he's like, man, I'm so skilled, I was able to get that close. And the king says, well, you're not my chariot driver either. Then a man comes in and he says, I didn't even try to get close to the edge. If I'm going to be driving the chariot for the king, I want to stay as far away from danger points as I can. Guess who got the job? Here's the point. If it gets close to damaging my fellow brother or sister, my walking testimony, or my church, I want to stay as far from it as possible. I don't want to see how close I can get to it and stay alive. So here's the question, church. Here's the question, stepping stone or stumbling block? Bullseye or missing the mark? The believer is to live in a manner that desires and implements harmony, unity, and edification of others through the church, through our lives, through the fellowship. So I got to ask you. I'm not going to ask this silly question, be like, hey, who's perfect? I'm not going to ask that. I'm not going to ask a question and say, hey, who needs a little work? Man, these sermons aren't easy to preach. You know why? Because I got, as I'm typing this stuff up, I'm like, man, I got to say that? That's hard for me to do. And God says, that's right, because you're all on the same page. You're just the mouthpiece today. Church, we have to decide. We have to decide intentionally not to do bad because good lives in us. Listen, we don't have to decide to do good. That's already in us in Christ Jesus. If you've given your life to Christ, good is in you because the Holy Spirit, because God Himself lives inside of you. You have to decide not to do harm. You have to decide not to do negative, and the good will start to come out. Flee from the devil, right? Flee from the devil and draw close to God. Listen, the closer you stay to the devil, the farther you'll be from God. Be like the chariot driver. Stay as far away from the devil as you can. Flee, and you'll see, and you'll realize, and you'll really, really enjoy the closeness that you have with God. But it's only available in Christ Jesus. And so I'm not going to ask if you need work. I'm not going to ask if you're missing the mark. We're all missing the mark. What I'm going to ask is, are you willing to decide not to do harm? Are you willing to set your life, to give it over to the working power of the Holy Spirit so that good fruit comes from you? And you'll watch your words, you'll watch your actions, you'll watch your movements to not hurt your brother or sister, to not hurt your walking testimony, and to not hurt your church. Listen, we're all aiming for the bullseye. At an archery tournament, nobody's like, man, I hope I can get to the outer ring. I just want to get on the board. Nobody really says that. The people who say that, they're not focused on the bullseye. They're focused on you not calling out their mistakes, so they try to call them out first. No. We need to be shooting for a bullseye every time. And the only way to shoot for a bullseye is what? To walk in the presence of Christ, the bullseye. Every time. Every time. And that way, when you miss the mark, it wasn't because you weren't trying. It was just because you're human. And you just missed, but you were headed for the bullseye. See, we're not headed for the bullseye. We're not headed to be Christ-like. We're headed for ourselves, and that's got to stop. Bow your heads. We're going to take communion here. I'm going to have Brandon, if you'll go back and get the kids. We're going to have communion in just a couple moments, but as God tells us to open His Word, He tells us to take a time to respond to His Word. What He's shown us, what He's given us, what He's doing in us, we need to respond. And sometimes it's public and sometimes it's just private. Sometimes you just need to sit there with the Lord Jesus Christ and just get right with Him, just the two of you. And so this morning, I just want to take that time for you to just sit with Christ. I want you to just take a few moments and not say, oh, Lord, I missed a bullseye. No, say, Lord, I'm missing the mark. I'm willing to bet you already know where you're missing the mark. I would make the assumption that the Spirit of God is already working on you and showing you something that needs to change. You need to let Christ change that in you. You need to decide and set your heart on not doing evil, not doing negative, so that Christ can come through you. And so the kids are going to come in and they're probably going to be noisy. Don't worry about that. You just sit here and you just ask the Lord what it is that you need to decide against, what it is that you need to run from. Don't give me the Sunday school answer. I run from Satan. Yeah, we know that. But in what aspects, in what areas? All right, church, we got all the noisy ones in here. I want to give you an opportunity. If there is something that the Lord has shown you and you need to make it public, because maybe you need the church to pray for you, just put your hand up. Don't just stand up. Just put your hand up. If you need to make something public, put your hand up and I'll call on you. Yes, Angel. Okay? You just need to be trusting him. Okay? Who else? Hudson. Anybody else? All right. Okay. We're going to celebrate communion. You're going to celebrate communion. And so could I have the deacons come forward? There he is. Okay. Brother Tom, would you come forward as well, please? We're going to celebrate communion, and I want to make sure that I state this as well. Listen, what we're proclaiming is we're proclaiming the Lord's death. We're proclaiming that Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed his blood and let his body be broken for our sins. He took our place on the cross. And so we're getting ready to proclaim and rejoice with one another. So this is like a funeral. It's a funeral because Jesus gave his life for us. But because of that, it's not a funeral where we just come in sorrow. Reverence and sorrow has to be a part of it. That something innocent had to die in my place, so there's some sorrow. But that should cause us to rejoice. Because Christ saw your salvation. He saw your finished work, and he says, man, this is a joy. I'm giving my life so that they can be saved. And so it should cause rejoicing. And so this should be a time of rejoicing. And so the word tells us to make sure we examine ourselves. We don't take this in a wrong way. And so today, if you need just a moment longer to just let God speak to you, to just maybe confess, just to maybe, whatever. If you just need another moment or two to just be alone with the Lord, then just do that. Just put your hand up. We'll wait for you. The Bible says to wait for one another. Listen, church is not a thing that we should just be in a hurry to leave and to get out of. Because there's something else. Listen, this is a thing where we come and we rejoice because of what Christ did for us. And so taking this in an unworthy manner is something that the Bible warns us against. And so if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, just let this pass. It's okay. Don't take it. It's okay. It will do you no benefit to take this in the wrong way. It will actually do you harm. If you're walking in blatant sin and you're not going to give it up, you're not willing to be changed, to be transformed, if you're going to leave here and walk in the blatant sin, and when I say blatant sin, God has very clearly told you, right? Or it's just one of the big ones that's just clearly listed. Don't take this. Just pass by. Don't even get up from your seat. We're going to do it like we've been doing it. We're just going to come up and we're going to form lines and we're going to take the bread and we're going to take the cup and we're going to come and we're going to sit back down so that we can take it together. And so I'm going to hand the plates to these guys and then I'll ask you to come up. And so those of you who you're just getting right with the Lord, just keep getting right with the Lord. Just keep getting right. Don't worry. We'll make sure you get communion. Might get one upstairs?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you guys move towards that aisle right there? All right. Go ahead and just, it's orderly. Don't worry, there's enough for everybody. This is orderly as we can be, come on up and get some bread and get a cup. We got one right in the middle here too. Come on, right on here. Happy New Year. Morning. Happy New Year, brother. The newlyweds. First communion as newlyweds. Yeah. Great big old pause. Great song. Cup and the bread. Brother Alan, would you voice our prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we get to come together in remembrance of you, Lord, and the things that you've done for us, Lord, the sacrifice that you made for us, Lord, because you loved us that much, because you do love us that much, Lord. Thank you so much for broken body, Lord, for your shed blood. Lord, thank you for enduring all the pain that you endured, Lord, because you love us. Lord, thank you for being our God and for being our everything. Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, that you guide us in never boasting in anything, Lord, other than you. Lord, let us share your word, Lord, share your love with others. Lord, and just share the amazing things that you've done for us in the past, Lord, the things you're doing now, Lord. Lord, we pray and ask, Lord, for guides to see, Lord, the wonderful things you're going to do in the future. Lord,
Amen. 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 All right, little clarification before your excuse. The deacon of the week, we will be starting the deacon of the week next week. And so what the deacon of the week is going to be is we're going to put the deacon's name and their phone number on the screen so that you can write it down. And if you have a need throughout the week, again, a gallon of milk, I don't know, mortgage paid off. Well, I don't know that they'll do that one. But you have a need throughout the week, something that comes up, you'll call that specific deacon. And if he can't make it, he will make sure that it's covered. Okay, so we're going to start that. We'll be putting their names and numbers on the whoever the deacon of the week is going to be. And that deacon will also close out service in prayer. All right, sound good? And 1:15 for the hospitality meeting is January 15th. Not at 1:15, January 15th, okay? All right? Capiche? All right. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Give each other a brotherly hug. All right.